Next public hearing is change of zone number 1748 CMF Bayside LLC.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MRRPC medium density residential district residential planning community to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Baltimore 100 Sussex County on a parcel containing 27.896 acres more or less land lying southwest of Sand Cove Road, Route 394, 1800 feet southeast of Route 54 Lighthouse Road and being northeast of Williamsville Road, Route 395, and 2,000 feet southeast of Route 54 Lighthouse Road, and being more specifically identified on tax rolls as tax map ID District 533, map 19, parcel number 287. For the benefit of the record, the applicants have submitted surveys and site plans with their application on January 29th of 2014. And an exhibit booklet for consideration on April 25th of 2014. And that is a three-ring binder about an inch thick. The exhibit booklet contains a cover letter, the application form, site plans, and aerial photographs depicting the site. The letter addressed to the Commission on the Environmental Assessment and Public Facilities Evaluation. A copy of the PLUS. Also referred to the preliminary land use service application dated July 19th of 2013. A copy of the PLUS comments dated September 25th of 2013. A copy of the responses to the PLUS comments dated January 15, 2014. References to the surrounding area and zoning by copies of a series of maps from the comprehensive land use plan and zoning map and aerial photographs. Copy the deed to the property, a summation of the pre-design meeting with the Sussex Conservation District, a letter of no objection to recordation, a willing and able to serve letter from Artesian Resources, and an approved concept plan approval from the County Engineering Department. And in reference to the County Engineering Department, we did receive an additional comment from the Utility Planning Division in the form of a memorandum dated May 2nd, 2014, which references that the site is located in the Bayville State Sanitary Sewer District. The wastewater capacity is available. That Ordinance 38 construction will be required. That the current system connection charge rate is $6,489 per EDU. That the proposed project will connect to an existing manhole at Williamsville Road in accordance with the approved sanitary sewer concept plan. That conformity to the South Coastal Planning Study 2005 update will be required. That connection to the sewer system is mandatory. That the proposed project is within planning study and system design assumptions for sewer service, and there will be adequate capacity for the project as proposed. That the engineering department has no objection to the proposed development as long as sewer service is in accordance with the sanitary sewer concept plan that was approved on November 13, 2013. That the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county engineering department standards and procedures. That the county engineer must approve the connection point. That all costs associated with extending sewer service will be the sole responsibility of the developer. That proper disconnection of the existing dwelling on the parcel is required prior to commencement of site work, issuance of a building permit, or prior to demolishing the dwelling. That a proper disconnection requires a disconnection permit issued by the county, to a county licensed plumber and inspected by county personnel, and that a concept plan is required. I will advise that the technical advisory committee comments were received per the requested date, and they included comments from DLDOT, Wastewater and Hazardous Substance, SIRS from DENREC Tank Management Section, Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, the Office of State Fire Marshal, DENREC Water and Sebaquis Land Section, and Wetland Soil Assessment Branch, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, County Engineering Public Works Division, and the Sussex Conservation District. Mr. Robertson, the Assistant County Attorney, has also reviewed the record for the application and provided comments that this is an application MRRPC, that it will be incorporated into the existing Americana Bayside development, that as such it is presumed that it will be governed by the existing and recorded Bayside governing documents or an amendment to them. The maintenance of the streets and roadways must be provided in the recorded governing documents for this expansion of the Bayside development. That maintenance of the common areas, stormwater management areas, surface drainage facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and buffer areas must be provided in the recorded governing documents for this expansion of the Bayside development. And because there appears to be wetlands on the site, the governing documents must include the wetlands notice required by 99-6H of the county subdivision code. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, so we thank you.
Okay, before we get started, I would like to ask the applicant if you would turn your exhibit boards a little bit more towards the public, and I know you're going to want to refer to them, so you're not going to want to turn them all the way.
Sure.
Okay, and I want to invite anyone who would like to get up and take a look at these exhibits. They're very difficult to see from where you're sitting. These gentlemen will probably be referring to them from time to time. Please feel free to get up and walk over and take a close look. I just ask that you not have any conversation while you're there, because we're going to be proceeding with a hearing. And also, I have a paper copy here if anyone wants to see them. I'm going to set them up right here, and you just come up and grab them, take a look if you would like. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, CMF Bayside LLC. With me seated up here are Steve Marsh from GMB and Ed Lene from Environmental Resources. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an exhibit book submitted containing information regarding the application. And that information includes the plus comments, the applicant's response to the plus comments, and an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, which is required since this is in the environmentally sensitive developing area. This is an application seeking to rezone a 27.9-acre parcel of land from AR1 to MRRPC to be an extension of the Americana Bayside MRRPC. As I know you gentlemen recall, Americana Bayside was changed to Zone 1393. It was approved as an MRRPC back in 2001. That RPC was approved for 1,700 residential units, being a mixture of single-family lots, townhouses, and multifamily units. There was a commercial town center as part of the RPC. There was extensive recreational amenities and open space, and a public championship golf course. In addition, there was an additional parcel that was included within the RPC, adding an additional 55 single-family and townhouse condominiums in 2011. That was change of zone 1701. Within the development itself, about 700 homes have been built to date. The 27.9-acre site before you tonight fronts on the north on County Road 394, which is Sand Cove Road. It's directly across the road from Phase 6 of the Americana Bayside development. On the east, the parcel borders Sea Country Estates, which is a residential subdivision. This is Sand Cove Road here. This is the subdivision right there. And then down here is Williamsville Road. To the south of the site, or the bottom, there is a residence and also a boat storage yard. The Bayside parcel extends to County Road 395, which, as I said, is Williamsville Road, and this parcel will have access to that that road in addition to Sand Cove Road. To the west, there are a couple, or I guess it's one residence up in the corner, and there's a couple of existing ponds, which I believe were originally borrow pits. The proposed development of the site will be a mixed-use residential development composed of 30 single-family lots along the west and the east boundaries of the site, 30 duplex units along the north boundary and the internal portion of the site, and 33 townhouses on the internal portion of the site. Again, a total of 93 units. As I said, access will be provided from both Sand Cove Road and Williamsville Road, and DelDOT has issued a letter of no objection as to the entrances. The site was formerly known as the Knox Farm. It is basically a cleared farmland. A wetland delineation was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc. No state lands or state wetlands are located on the site. There is approximately 2/10 of an acre of federally regulated waters on the site, which are basically associated with drainage ditches along the east and part of the south boundaries, and those areas would not be impacted by the proposed development of the parcel. As part of the Americana Bayside development, the site will have a central public water from Artesian Water Company for domestic use and fire protection. Sewer will be provided by the county as part of the Sussex County Bayview Estate Sanitary Sewer District. As Lawrence stated, the proposed development is within the planning study assumptions for sewer service. A sewer concept plan was approved by Sussex County Engineering Department in November of last year, and the county engineer's comments of May 2nd indicate that adequate capacity exists. DelDOT has again approved the entrance locations for this parcel. They've indicated that they will accept payment of an area-wide study fee in lieu of a TIS. The applicant will be dedicating additional right-of-way along both roads and an additional 10-foot easement for future multi-path use to DelDOT as part of the development of the site. And as far as the overall road improvements, the applicant has already constructed well over $1 million of road and intersection improvements as part of the overall Americana Bayside development. The application is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The plan's future land use map designates the site as being in the environmentally sensitive development area, which, as you know, is one of the growth areas designated by the plan. The plan recognizes that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, including single-family use, townhouse, and multifamily-type units, similar to what we are proposing. The plan strongly encourages that developments in the environmentally sensitive development area be served by central water and sewer, and as I indicated, this site will be served by central water and county sewer. The site will be, as was stated, part of the Americana Bayside development, which is zoned MRRPC. And, of course, our requested zoning is basically to be the same zoning and to be part of that RPC. The MR medium density is appropriate for this site since it will be served by central sewer and water, and it will be consistent with the overall density of the development. The RPC designation continues the RPC of Americana Bayside development, and that complies with the purpose of the RPC ordinance, which is to encourage large-scale developments as a means of creating superior living environments through a unified development concept. The residents of the proposed development on the site will be members of the Americana Bayside Association. They will be entitled to use all of the recreational facilities that current residents of Americana Bayside use. They will also be subject to the same dues and fees as other Americana Bayside residents. And with that, I'm going to turn our presentation over to Steve Marsh just to review the site plan.
My name is Steve Marsh. I'm an engineer with GMB. Just to add to what Jim was saying, there are two access points to Sand Cove Road and Williamsville Road. The layout is essentially a loop road with the single family on the outside that would be adjacent to the neighboring properties with a minimum 20-foot buffer. And then the higher density duplexes and townhomes interior to the project around the proposed ponds. And in terms of the layout and the density and the type of product, it is very similar to the last two pods of Americana Bayside that you granted, or that the county gave final site plan for, which was Seagrass Bend, or the Donut Hole, and Coastal Crossing. Those two pods of the development are under construction right now, and this is, in terms of the product mix, very similar to those. That's really all I have to add. Oh, one other thing, it is a quarter of a mile from the main, what is now the main recreation facility at Bayside, which is Sunridge, Poulin tennis area, right here. So that's, 5 to 10 minute walk from there. All right, okay, so a little more detail on the buffer. We have the 20-foot wooded buffer behind the single family homes, adjacent to the 20-foot buffer with single family then adjacent to the Sea Country Estates. And then we have a planted berm with the proposed multimodal path along Sand Cove Road, and then a planted buffer adjacent to the entrance at Williamsville Road to surround the buffer from the existing homes that are out there.
I want to submit some proposed findings and conditions for your consideration. This application is very similar to the application I mentioned in 2011, which was change of zone 1701. The proposed conditions that I'm going to submit to you are basically the same conditions that you recommended on change of zone 1701, with the exception of changing the number of units to 93 rather than what was approved on that application. I've also attached, for your reference if you wanted to see them, the original conditions for the change of zone 1393, which was the original Americana Bayside approval.
Thank you, sir.
In summary, we believe that this is an appropriate and logical extension of the existing Americana Bayside MRRPC. It's the type of development encouraged by the RPC ordinance. It's in compliance with the comprehensive plan, and we believe that it will be a natural extension of Americana Bayside. And with that, that'll be our presentation, and we'll try to answer any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if there's anyone on the commission that has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fuqua, before I ask the questions that I have, does Mr. Lanay have anything he wants to add?
He's really here just in case you had any questions about the wetlands that were mentioned.
All right, sir. Thank you. And I have studied the exhibit book, and thank you for your responses in contrasting font to the plus comments. And you also went before TAC on this, is that also correct?
Well, you don't really go before TAC.
Or you had you just get TAC comments. I yeah. read them, and I guess your team was responsible for preparing them. I'd like to ask you, if you would, for the record and for the benefit of the public, just give an explanation of the difference between a traffic impact study and a traffic operational analysis.
I might turn that over to the engineer.
A traffic impact study is generally over 200 homes, and a traffic operational analysis is a little bit smaller scale because of the size of the community here. So we had the traffic group did a traffic operational analysis that they submitted to DLDOT for review, and then we contributed to the area-wide study fee. So essentially DLDOT is doing a study of the whole area. Basically DLDOT's doing that. We kick in money to contribute to it, but we're not doing a TIS like we did for the whole Bayside. So we're just doing a very small part in looking at Williamsville Road intersection with 54 and Sand Cove Road intersection with 54 versus a large-scale TIS. And then based on the TOA, the traffic operational analysis, that's what the findings of that were that we didn't need any improvements to Williamsville Road and 54. And based on that, that's what we used to submit our letter of no objection for the access to Williamsville Road and Sand Cove Road.
All right. And as Mr. Fuqua pointed out a couple times, you had the two entrances here, one from Williamsville and Sand Cove Road. Is it possible also to reach this, that entrance from going in, say, the main boulevard there by the Harris Teeter, going through the development and coming up to the Sand Cove Road development?
That's a great question. So
either by biking, hiking, or motor vehicle?
So there is the main intersection to Bayside is right here at Americana Parkway and Route 54 where the Harris Teeter is. Mm-hmm. I think your question is, can you access this by coming through Bayside to that point?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, you would come in Americana Parkway towards where the clubhouse and the stage are now, and then come down Signature Boulevard all the way to, there's a four-way stop with Sand Cove Road, and take a right back towards Route 54. And there are multimodal trails throughout that entire development so that you could bike the whole thing. Does that answer the question?
Yes, sir, it does. So then, by logic, then that would work the other way as well, that the prospective residents of this new phase could also reach the amenities.
Correct.
By not having to go out onto 54, they could use internal streets or multimodal paths to get to, what was it you said, the swimming pool, the golf course, the stage.
So the swimming pool, hopefully most of them would walk because it's a quarter of a mile away, the main swimming pool. You would think that to access anything inside Bayside, it's probably easier to access it from within Bayside than to go out to 54.
All right, sir. Thank you. And I just have another question. One's about your stormwater management areas. I believe you mentioned that they will be not the what we'd grown accustomed to in the past of being wet ponds, that they'll be green technologies. Is that correct?
So there will be a combination of both. There'll be wet ponds out there for storage, and we're working with the Conservation District now to try and manage the quantity of the 100-year event, and then we've incorporated some of the newer stormwater technologies, about green technology BMPs such as bioswales and small bioretention areas that help to treat, specifically target nutrients in the runoff.
And in reading you have had a meeting with Sussex Conservation District. They updated their minutes indicating that you are not in the Inland Bays watershed.
That's correct. So this is in the Maryland Coastal Bays watershed. The TMDL that applies to the Inland Bays regulatory-wise doesn't apply here, but we still want to treat stormwater as well as we can in trying to clean up the Maryland Coastal Bays.
And I see where Mr. Matt Grabowski, State of Delaware Drainage, in those minutes of the meeting indicated that there has been a history of drainage issues for a ditch in the area and provided you with those complaints. Will your design be taking those drainage issues into consideration?
Absolutely, yes, and that's why we're working with the Conservation District now. So this is not right on a tax ditch, but it drains into a tax ditch area, and we're trying to manage the 100-year event. That's what we're working towards.
Seemed to me, my interpretation, correct me if I'm wrong, please, was that they were less worried about what you were doing with your water in the immediate area of your property, but then when it eventually flowed, let's say across the state line into Maryland, if it would cause problems for those downstream recipients.
So that all comes through the back end of Bayside here and across the street, and to my knowledge, really, there's really nothing out there. It opens up into tidal creeks pretty quickly. And so just in managing the 100-year event, I think we can say we're certainly not going to make the problem any worse, and we're trying to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Marsh, Mr. Fuqua, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
Since you ended up with the tidal creeks, I'll just go off that. I mean, the biggest problem with that area has been not necessarily drainage and normal rain events. It's when we have northeast storms and the water literally can't get out because the tide's up and the wind's pushing in. And so then we have flooding because it's flat, you know. And so everything has to wait until the rain stops and the wind stops, and then gradually it goes away. So are you going to have flooding in this case where we have these occasional nor'easters, as we call them in Sussex County?
So are you talking about like within the ditches or in the homes and things like that?
Yeah, within the development that would impede travel or inundation into the foundations of the homes or anything of that nature.
So there, you know, if there is flooding in the, you know, in the tidal ditches out here, there's not much we can do about that, to your point. Tide comes up. The homes are built high enough so that the homes and the roads will not be underwater from a tide event. So just by providing elevation on the homes and then making sure we're managing the 100-year event, by managing the 100-year event, we also have a lot of storage capacity available to hold rainwater than if the tide's up. So if the tide comes up and water can't get out quickly, we have a large area to kind of hold what at least falls on this community and drains into the stormwater system.
I take it there's no basements in any of these homes or anything of that nature?
There are no basements. There are there are crawl spaces, but those all have to be by code above the base flood elevation for the 100-year event.
Okay, then let's go back to the transportation a little bit. And can you talk about what the financial contributions are and then the physical contributions by the project towards the roadways in the area?
Sure. So the developer has already spent $225,000on Sand Cove Road out in front of what will be the community now, just in doing Bayside. And so that was an agreement with DelDOT. They also spent over $1 million at the 54 and 20 intersection when 20 got realigned and that whole intersection got rebuilt. And then they spent an additional $1 million on what were the internal DelDOT roads, rebuilding Sand Cove Road and Signature Boulevard, and then improvements also to Williamsville Road further east to the Maryland state line. And so that has all the 5420 intersection, the improvements to Sand Cove Road in front of the project, and then all of the internal improvements, which were called DelDOT Segment 1 and 2, that has all been constructed. It just still needs to be top coated, which we can't do until Village C develops a little bit more, and that's a condition of DelDOT.
And then that does not include additional easements granted to make roadways wider, bike paths, and that sort of thing.
Right, that does not. That's just for the road construction I'm talking about.
Okay, and then lastly, and then I'll let you go. It appears to me that Bayside is roughly 2 units to the acre in a round number. This looks like it's like 3.3 or something like that. Can you, Mr. Fuqua, I guess, can you justify the difference in densities and talk about why this should be a higher density than the neighboring property?
Well, I can say that when the original development was proposed, obviously there was nothing there. It was a concept. We're approximately halfway into build out, and so I think people now can see what's there, see how it's developed, see that the amenities are in place, the golf course is built, the clubhouse, things of that nature, the stage that is a kind of a community area in the summertime. This particular portion with MR zoning, which would be 4 units of the acre, is basically recognized as appropriate zoning if you have county sewer and central water, which this site will have. And again, as an extension of the development, it seems an appropriate use of the land here. It's not dissimilar to, the type of units that are in the area, and it's a density that, quite frankly, is supported by the infrastructure and the location. And Mr. Ross, if I can just add one thing to your earlier question, as far as construction on this site, all construction in any coastal areas are governed by the FEMA regulations regarding flood elevations, and these units would have to be built at certain elevations depending on where they're located. Either the existing elevation of the ground supports that, or they would have to be raised on pilings or whatever. So I don't know what this elevation is, but it has to comply with that law, as all new construction does.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we thank you. Mr. Burton.
Just not to keep beating up on DelDOT, but the what is the improvement on the improvement that is made to Sand Cove Road was done for phase 6, correct?
I can believe that's so.
Yeah, right. So Sand Cove Road was basically, there was a separate project that was a rehab of Sand Cove Road, I'm sorry, between Route 54 and where DelDOT Segment 1 starts, which is essentially halfway east of the beginning of Phase 6. And so that was, there was a, the road was, the shoulders were basically rebuilt because it wasn't wide enough there, and then a full reclamation on the pavement section was done.
But that doesn't carry down to this entrance, correct?
So that does carry down to the entrance that we're talking about.
It does?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So then the pedestrian travel into Americana Bayside would be across Sand Cove Road and onto the path.
Correct. Yes, that would be
six.
That's correct. That's
correct.
So that path in Phase 6 is already constructed and already done. So they could walk right across the street, get onto that path, and go right to the pool or to the rest of the trails in Bayside.
Okay. Are you planning any amenities at all in here? Just really, I'm kind of
Not on this site. Has it?
What will that corner be when you come off the entrance in Sand Cove Road? Will that be an open field? You got an open corner there. No, this way. Inside the development.
Here?
Right there.
So that will just be open field. So in terms of many, that'll be open. That'll be like open.
But it'll be cut.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Okay.
Pretty consistent with the other open spaces at Bayside.
Okay, and I noticed there's sidewalks on all the way around the community?
Correct.
Okay, not to leave Mr. Lene out, but can you show me where the wetlands are?
Yes, sir. Let me get orientated. So right here, there's a ditch. Okay, that runs, that's common to this community, and it's pretty much common to the property line.
Is it a tax ditch, though? Or
no, it's not a tax ditch. It's a ditch that carries water that we heard earlier drained down to something that is a tax ditch. But at this point, it isn't a tax ditch. And so there's a common ditch, and there's a second ditch that begins about here and runs to here. And then basically the drainage pattern is this way, and it basically meanders kind of along property lines, the ditch more or less as it gets down toward the end of Bayside and crosses into Maryland into basically an area that's tidal, lagoons and so forth. That basically runs along, is common to a lot of property lines, and that ditch runs in that direction along there.
Is that the ditch that they're mentioning that's backing up?
That would be the way that the water comes out. So, there, you know, that... one of the things is there probably that entire ditch system probably could stand some maintenance, but not parts of it aren't in a tax ditch system, and parts of it are obviously not in control of Americana Bayside. So, I mean, there could be something in terms of a community, you know, or a lot of times the drainage section will look at ditches other than ditches that are tax ditches to try to do some sort of maintenance.
Are you planning on putting any water in those ditches?
Well, I think, as Steve said, there's going to be most of the water that is going to be on site is going to be retained on the site.
There'll be no outfall to those ditches.
There will be, but the way we have to model this is we have to basically consider what happens when those ditches are completely full. So the conservation districts in the coastal areas basically make us say, you've got to assume that there is essentially no capacity left in that ditch if you want to discharge to it, and you have to model your stormwater system that way. So that's why we wind up basically managing the 100-year event, because we're only allowed such a little bit of outfall during those events because the ditches are already full in terms of the model, in terms of what we're modeling.
But the ditches are not wetlands. They're just
The ditches themselves, as far as how the Corps of Engineers would look at it, the ditches are waters, so they're regulated as under the Clean Water Act, but it's the way their program works is things that are clearly or predominantly waters are a water area, and then the areas that are predominantly wet but with wetland vegetation are wetlands. These are waters. These have been classified on the wetland delineation report that I've turned into the Corps of Engineers, as these are waters of the United States, and another part of waters of the United States is the wetlands. So where these two ditches come in, there's a very small area of wooded wetlands right in that corner. And pretty much what Steve is showing here is more or less what you're seeing is more or less an existing woods line. The same along this buffer. A lot of that is already wooded with large trees. So this is more retention than it will be having to plant something there. There's already things growing.
And the ditch is on this site or shared?
Yes.
Shared?
Yes.
Thank and you. Mr. Burton, the 0.2 of an acre that I mentioned is the total of the waters and the wetland. It's not just the wetland. So everything that Ed spoke about is within two that 0.2 of an acre.
The ditch and the corner.
I have a question about the ditches. The ditches are not tax ditches. They're shared by more than one development. They're on the property line. Who owns the ditch and who is maintaining the ditch?
This ditch?
Yes, that ditch.
This ditch
right here.
That
ditch that everybody's using.
The ditch is on both properties.
Okay.
From looking at the survey corners and looking at the survey, I believe half of the ditch is on these individual lots that are back here, and the other half of the ditch is on this.
Will there be a maintenance agreement between the two owners of the ditch in regard to how that ditch is going to be maintained, or what's the story with that?
That's a good question. I don't have any.
I thought it was too, and it speaks to an issue that I think needs to be dealt with at some point. Where we have these ditches that aren't tax ditches, aren't owned wholly by one entity yet, and everybody's using them, and eventually that ditch is going to need to be maintained, and it may need it now. So I'm just suggesting that's an issue that needs to be dealt with. Mr. Lank, you have any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
None for me, thanks.
All right then, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1748 CMF Bayside LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1748? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. I noticed they shook their heads right away.
Thank you, gentlemen.